You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, Irish Racing Podcast time here at William Hill, and it's a star-studded programme on the middle day of the three-day June festival at the Curragh. Of course, with the highlight coming in the shape of the Irish Derby at 5:15, but plenty of other good racing as well on a glittering afternoon sport over at the County Kildare venue. We'll kick on with the 140, which is a two-year-old contest, and it's a real shame here, body blow for yours surely, because my nap of the day was all the King's Men, who at time of recording had just been pulled out around about the 10:15 mark, so that does put a little bit of a different spin on things here. Obviously, Aidan O'Brien, who did have three in it, and that was very much the number one choice based on the fact that it went from 5-1 to 6-4, has now left at punters a little bit of a poser, because most of these are unraced, including the other two Aidan O'Brien horses, Mount Tabora and, of course, USS Michigan. Of the two, well, then obviously Ryan Moore riding Mount Tabora will probably come in for the strongest support, being a colt by Scat Daddy and costing a tidy sum at the sales. But it's probably a race best watch now. I must admit that All the King's Men, I did think, looked a really good thing off the back of that run first time out. So a race to savour and enjoy and set your notebook for, rather than get too heavily involved. On to the 2:15, the first of the big handicaps here of the afternoon, one of the most sought-after sprint contests in Ireland. It's the Rockingham Stakes over 5 furlongs, and only speedy sorts need apply here. Plenty of pace on here, likely to be the case again with several front runners in the line, including, of course, Caspian Prince, who's drawn stall 11. So you want probably something drawn in and around that. I did think Nick Bay was a big price here this morning, 33-1 with most firms. Johnny Levens is 4 yards, a little bit slowly away. He can be a little bit tardy out of the boxes, but he ran really well here 2 starts ago in a race similar to this behind Alfredo Arcano, when he got drawn on the wrong side. The front two hand that day, Rattling Jewel and the eventual winner, come up the near side round. I thought Johnny Levens' 4-year-old did really well to finish fourth. He probably hit the front a little bit too soon for him as well. But like I say, with today's strong pace, bound to be very much to the fore. He's got a good draw in stall 13 next to where most of the good horses are. I'd certainly respect both Blue, Uluru and Darley, who fought out the finish of a 0-106 handicap here on the 8th of June, with Gerlands' 3-year-old coming out on top. Now, she's a very, very speedy type, and despite drifting over towards the near side rail, she just held off Darley, who, of course, has gone on to win subsequently. There isn't a great deal between those two, and a lot depends how this race pans out and where they are drawn on the track. I suppose of the two, I'd probably just prefer Aidan O'Brien's Darley, because he appears to be going forward at a rapid rate of knots. But Nick Bay, like I say, around about 33-1 this morning if you shop around. Might give you a little bit of fun there in the Rockingham Stakes. On to the listed contest then, over 6 furlongs, the 250. Quite a few of these are tightly matched, and I certainly think there's going to be plenty of support for Fleet to Review, having took part in the Commonwealth Cup at Royal Ascot, the Group 1, last week. And if you take at face value his run before that, he'd certainly have a great chance here when he finished second up to Sioux Nation, who was also a slight disappointment at Royal Ascot. Of those that are sort of more working man's each way price, I do think Smash Williams is definitely worth considering. He's a little bit of a on and off the bridle horse, but he's got plenty of talent. And as we saw here 2 starts ago, when he was fifth behind subsequent Golden Jubilee winner or Diamond Jubilee winner Merchant Navy, he's quite a useful type, particularly at this track. He's actually 2 from 3 at this track, and that was the only time he finished out the frame. He ran over 7 furlongs last time out and ran a little bit in snatches, as is his wont. But given a strong pace, a stiff track like the Curragh over 6 furlongs, then Jim Bolger's charges are often relied upon to run his race. So Smash Williams for me, ran about 6-1 top price this morning, will do for me there. On to the 3:25 then, which is a listed contest over a mile, and all eyes will no doubt be on St Patrick's Day here, who makes his eagerly waited debut for Aidan O'Brien, of course. Comes from the same line that Merchant Navy did, of course, being trained in America. It was interesting, though, this horse was very, very weak and easy to back. when he was due to make his reappearance at Le Petain the other day. So the market's very much going that particular way this morning. He's at the 5-2. So if he was as good as his stable companion, you think he would have been a good bit shorter. Perhaps he just might need the run. So with that in mind, I'm going to go with Oso Fancy here, who looks the more solid proposition. Just the two wins in 15 starts for this filly, but given that she's going very much in the right direction based on her last run here back on the 9th of June, then I'm prepared to side with Jessica Harrington's filly. I like the way she quickened away from what was a decent field that day in that listed race. And you've only got to look at the horses that she beat that day to suggest that she's easily up to this standard. Easter Lily, who was fourth, has gone on to win subsequently at Nacy the night. And Mustardier, who was well-backed as well in second from the World Camp, was well-beaten 3¾ lengths back in second. So I do think she's probably got the best current form of the, let's say, more traditional horses in this race. And I'm so fancy. He's quite a confident choice there in the 3.25. On to the 4 o'clock, and this is a decent fillies and mares contest, bringing together quite a few informed horses. The one I like is Dianthus from the Richard O'Brien stable. This filly was a really impressive winner first time out at Nace, beating the well-regarded London Icon in a handicap. And such was the time figure that race that day that Connections decided to pitch her into the Leopardstown 1000 Guineas trial, but unfortunately she didn't really handle the conditions or the class and got well beat. Back on a decent surface, up to a mile, she ran really well in a race better than this when last seen behind Hence. That was on the 26th of May. Back in the field was a horse called Check Your Pockets, who went on to win at Tipperary the other night. So that form is absolutely rock solid. The time figure's good, and that was the first time that she wore a tongue tie. So with that contraption on again, there's a good chance that Dianthus will get back to winning ways there in the 4 o'clock. On to the 4:35 then, the big two-year-old contest of the day, the Railway Stakes. Unfortunately, we've lost a runner here this morning, Landforce, which means that the dead eight goes down to the pesky seven, which is a real body blow for us each-way backers. I really did like one in here, well, I still do, but I would have been more confident with an extra place, and that's Invincible Karma, who was chalked up at double-figure quotes this morning. I do think he was overlooked based on the fact he's probably still a maiden, but his two runs have both come over today's track, and he definitely got better off the first run on heavy ground when he finished second to a lovely horse of Paddy Toomey's called Decrypt. That was on the 9th of June. The time figure of that race is sensational for that kind of race, and there's been a whole host of horses that have come out of that race and won. All the King's Men was sixth. I think he probably would have won the first race. The seventh has won one for Jer Lyons. And the horse that finished fourth has also won Hillwalker at Gowran last week. So the time figure and the form of those involved in the finish of that race has suggested it was an above average contest. And the fact that the first three were five lengths clear of the rest have all gone on to win subsequently. I do think this Invincible Karma is very capable of causing some damage here. I think the front two in the market, particularly Van Beethoven, are in a very, very short given what they've done. So I'm going to go with Invincible Karma to cause a little bit of a shock there in the 4:35. Right, on to the big race of the day, the big race of the weekend. It's the Irish Derby, and all eyes are going to be on Saxon Warren here, who bids to atone from a slightly disappointing run, it has to be said, in the Derby. He went to Epsom, of course, off the back of his scintillating performance in the 2000 Guineas, only to either disappoint due to the track or the... or just the trip, we don't really know. And if it is the trip, then he looks a bit of an iffy proposition to me at a very, very skinny price. You're taking odds on here about a horse who didn't stay the mile and a half at Epsom. And this, for me, is an even stiffer track, the Curra. That last three and a half furlongs is all uphill. So it's going to put a real influence on his stamina. And if there is any chinks in his armoury, it's going to be exposed here, because there are several in this race that definitely stay well. Makes real no odds why DXB is a much bigger price, almost three or four times his odds, considering he's already beaten Saxon Warrior in the Derby. And, of course, he's been supplemented for the Mark Johnson stable. He's a very, very tough horse, drawn in stall one, likely to be ridden forward. I certainly wouldn't put you off any strong each-way, bets to nothing each-way on DXB. Old Persian, of course, comes here off the back of his Royal Ascot win. And Dear Varnav over Roosevelt wasn't suited, by the way. That race panned out beyond Old Persian that day, and he's a player. But the one I quite like at a price is Latrobe from the Jades of O'Brien Stab. Now, this horse is a bit of a slow burner. He's only a winner of a maiden, but it was a good maiden, and the time figure was good. Prior to that, he finished behind Platinum Warrior in the Galilee Stakes, a race which is usually a good stepping stone to this one. He seems to be improving. The fact that he's run here at this track as well, I'll also stand him in good stead quite a few times. So 20-25 to 1 this morning for Latrobe. I'd rather back him each way than I would Saxon Warrior at a short price. And it wouldn't be for the first time that Joseph O'Brien's had one over on his dad. On to the final race then. 2 miles, 5:55 the time. And the two I like here are the two that have been running well over hurdles of late. Ancient Sands, his form on the flat, he's pretty good, but his performance last time out at Listowel in a very competitive handicap hurdle suggested he's right on the money here. He beat one of Willie Mullins's called Boe Sublime, but back in third was Dixie Lee, who's gone on to Frank Knapp form with a scintillating performance at Downroll the other day. And I thought this horse won in the style of an improver, but certainly improving from his previous runs. And he carried 11 stone 10 to victory that day as well. So a track that he's gone well in the past. I do think John Kiley's in form at stable is likely to see another horse of his run well here in the shape of Ancient Sands. And the other one is Low Sun for the Willie Mullins stable. Willie was unlucky when one of his got beaten a similar race to this last night. And I do think Low Sun is capable of going well here. A winner at the Fairy House Festival in a 2 mile handicap, stepped up to 2.5 miles to run fifth behind Stabber companion Mary Devi in one of the most competitive handicap hurdles run at the County Kildare venue back in April. Hasn't been out since, but has got plenty of good form on the flat as well in its native France. So I'd expect off a mark of 89, Low Sun, to go really well here for the Willie Mullins stable, along with Ancient Sands, my two picks in that concluding staying contest. Thanks very much for listening to this edition then of the Irish Racing Podcast. Hopefully you can join me again tomorrow when we're going to be looking at the Curra's third and final day of their 3-day meeting, beginning at 1:45. 8 races there tomorrow. So until then, it's bye for me for now.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.